So we left off last week after the Shir HaYam, after Az Yashir. So I want to just frame sort of the issues from here to the end of the Shalach. I don't know if anyone stayed after the women's Shir when I spoke at Clanton Park. I gave a 20-minute version of this, but we'll do a more expanded one to analyze the rest of the parsha. So right after the after Kriyas Yamsuf and after Az Yashir, so we have three consecutive complaint stories. Right? We have the first complaint for water in Elim and the Jews getting water, and then we have the complaint for food, and that comes with man and the giving of the mitzvah of Shabbos. And then we have the second complaint story of water in Rephidim. And then we end the parsha with the attack of Amalek, and then after Amalek, so then we go into Yisro coming and going into Kabbalah Satorah in the beginning of Parsha's Yisro. So what I want to do is analyze just basically from this point in the parsha to the end of the parsha and build on some of the themes that we've seen in the last few weeks. So one of the things that we've talked about is that one of God's goals here is not just convincing the Jewish people that he exists and convincing the Egyptians he exists, but it's convincing the Jewish people that he is with them. And what I want to argue here is that the struggle in these complaint stories is about this question, specifically not about, you know, is God capable, but will God actually help us? Is God actually with us? So if we look through them, look at the next three complaint stories. You'll note that we have a chiastic structure in the parsha. We start and end the parsha with this attack from an external enemy, and then we have the two complaints of water, and then man right in the middle. So if we look through it and find the theme, we'll discover that the way we tend to tell the story when we summarize it is not how it actually appears in Chumash. So if we look, starting in Perek Tezvah Pasachav Zani, and right after the Shira of Miriam, actually, no, before that even, sorry, this starts in Mara, rather. So this is Pasachav Bet, Perek Tezvah Pasachav Bet. So we have Vayasam Moshe Yisrael Miyam Suf, Vayitzu Al Midbar Shur, Vayachu Shlosha Mimba, and Mar V'lo Matzu Mayim. So after they leave the sea, and they go into the desert. So they go for 3 days. They don't find water. Vayavo mara, savelachulishos mayim mara, kimarim heim alkein karashima mara. So they get to Mara, and they can't drink the water because it's bitter, and that's why it's called bitter. Vayilonu ha'am amoshe lemor manishte. So now we have to be careful here. So they turn to Moshe and they complain, "What will we drink?" So this is exactly what we would expect. They've left the water. They've traveled 3 days. There's no water. They're in a desert. So they turn to Moshe and they say, "We're dying of thirst." Vayitzak el Hashem. So he responds and he davens to Hashem. Vayoreyu Hashem eight. Vayishlech el amayim. Vayim tigu amayim sham. Sam lo chok mishpat v'sham nisau. And Hashem responds, right, there's no God doesn't critique them for this complaint. It was a very reasonable complaint. So Moshe calls out to God. God tells him to throw in the stick into the water. And he gives them sweet water, and then he gives them laws. But then we get a pasuk that seems to be a little bit out of place, right? Because the parasha could have very easily ended at pasuk Kafei. Right? They go into the desert, there is no water, they daven to God, they get water, and Hashem gives them some laws. An end of story. But there's this next pasuk, Chavav, where Moshe tags on, by the way, if you listen to God, so then everything he did to Mitzrayim, he won't do to you, because he is God, your right Rofecha, your healer. Now, it's a little bit strange. It's not enough to, you know, reinterpret the whole story. But it seems like God is trying to convey something more than just, "I'm giving you water." It's something about, right, him and his relationship with the Jewish people. But nothing too crazy, except for the fact that we expand it. But then, if we continue to the next story is much, much stranger. Because Vayavo Elima, so now they're not going to ask for water, they're going to ask for food. So Vayavo Elima, Vasham Shem Israelinot, Mayim, Vashivim Tamarim, Achanusham Alamayim, Vaisume Elim, Vayavo, called Abed Israel, Midbar Sin, Asher Ben Elim, Ben Sinai. So first they get to a place with food. Then they travel, there's no food. Yom Lachodesh Hashanil, it's Yisam Eretz Mitzrayim, Vayilonu, called Abed Israel, Moshe, Vaharon, Vamidbar. So now they complain to Moshe and Aaron. Vayomru Alehem Bnei Israel. So now, instead of saying what they did in the first story, which was, we're hungry, I mean, the first one, they were thirsty, now they're hungry, which is what they should say, they say, Mi yitein musenu b'yad Hashem b'eretz Mitzrayim b'shifteinu asir basar b'achleinu lechem lasova ki yitzeisem osanu el midbar hazeh la'mis es kol ha'kal hazeh bara'av. Instead of saying, we're hungry, their complaint is, we wish we would have died. And then they add, b'yad Hashem, right, died by God's hand in Mitzrayim, while we were eating meat and we were eating bread. Why did you take us out of Egypt? Now the critique seems to be specifically, they're turning to Moshe and Aaron and saying, why did you take us out of Egypt? Which is a little bit strange, because God took them out of Egypt, and they even believed that. Right? In Beshalach, right, just the beginning of the parsha, we had Vayaminu Bashem Moshe Avdo. They don't just believe in Moshe, they believe in Hashem too. They know that Hashem was involved. And here they turn to Moshe and they accuse him of taking them out of Egypt, and they complain specifically that they wanted to die in Mitzrayim, Biyad Hashem. So while what they should complain about is, we're starving, they actually don't, right? They sort of do, but backhandedly. We wish we wouldn't have died of starvation. We would die in Egypt, right? Rather than die of starvation, which is sort of a complaint for food, but it seems to be like there's something else that's going on. And as you continue, that becomes clearer. So, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Hinini Mamtir Lachem Lechem and Hashemayim, V'yatzam, Laktu Dvarim V'yamos, Hashem gives them food. We'll come back to, oh no, we'll continue here, but we'll come back to detail, but let's just skim it first. And he says, so Hinini Mamtir Lachem Lechem and Hashemayim, I'll send them bread, V'yatzam, Laktu Dvarim V'yamos, Laman, and Hashem, I'll send them bread, I'm going to give them food to see if they're going to follow my Torah or not. And on Friday, they'll get double. So Moshe v'Aaron al Bnei Yisrael. Well, called Bnei Yisrael. So now Moshe and Aaron are going to convey the message of God to the Jewish people. So the message should be, God said he's going to give you food. But Moshe and Aaron don't actually say that. They say, Vayomer Moshe v'Aaron al Kol Bnei Yisrael, Erev vidatem ki Hashem otzi eschem eretz Mitzrayim. You will know that Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim. Well, that wasn't what they asked, right? They seem to be asking for food in some sort of backhanded way. Hashem responds by saying he's going to give them food, but Moshe and Aaron say not Hashem's going to give you food. They say you're going to know that Hashem took you out of Egypt. How? Uvoker isemes kavod Hashem b'shamos klonot zeichem al Hashem. And then they add, in the morning you'll know, you'll see the glory of God, that he heard your complaint. And then they end off, why are you complaining to us? Right? Which is a weird thing to say, right? They were complaining about food, and Moshe and Aaron say to them, why are you complaining to us? You're going to know that God took you out of Egypt, which has seemingly nothing to do with the dialogue. The dialogue was, we're starving, we don't want to die of starvation. Hashem responds, I'm going to give you food. So Moshe and Aaron say, you're going to get food. But instead they say, you'll know that God took you out, and that you shouldn't complain to us. And then they repeat it again. And when you get bread and meat, Bishma Hashem etzulun ezeichem, because God heard your complaint. Asher atem malinim alav, but you're complaining against him. V'nachnuma, and again, who are we? Lo aleinu etzulun ezeichem ki al Hashem. You're not complaining to us, you're complaining to God. Well, that's actually not what happened. Was they were actually complaining specifically to Moshe and Aaron. They said, why did you take us out? We'd rather die with God. And yet Moshe and Aaron tell them, why are you complaining to me? You should be complaining to God. Well, we did complain, right? So what exactly is the dialogue here? And then, right, we have the response, right? And the response again is in Yud Aleph and Yud Bet that Hashem says, I've heard your complaints, I'll give you bread, vidatem ki ani Hashem elokichem. And then we have the actual story, which we'll come back to, of them getting the man. But now if we skip to the third story here, we'll see that this sort of ambiguity of what it is they're actually asking about jumps out the most in story number 3. So in story 3, which is Perek Yud Zayin, Vayis'u kol adat b'nei Yisrael mimbarsin l'maseihem al pi Hashem v'yachanu b'rafidim v'ein mayim l'shoram. Again, we have no water. Vayaravam Moshe v'yomru. So now they complain to Moshe again, and they say, Tnu lanu mayim v'nishteh. Give us water and we'll drink. Vayomru lahem Moshe, matiri v'unamadi. Right? Why do you keep complaining? Man tinasunet Hashem. Why are you testing God? But they're thirsty, so they complain again. Why do you take us out of Egypt? So Moshe turns to God and he says, "Ma eselohem azeh od maskaloni anymore, and they're going to stone me." Vayomer Hashem Moshe, "Avor lefneiam v'kach itcham mizikne Yisrael matchasher kiza bo ena yor v'kach v'yatcha ba'alach." Take your stick and the skenim. And I'll stand with you. Shamal atzur by the rock bechalrev v'kisav atzur v'yitzum mimenu mayim. You'll hit the rock and water will come out. V'shasa am v'yaskein Moshe l'zikne Yisrael. And that's what they do. V'krashim makom. And then God names the place, or they name the place rather. Masa miriva al riv b'nei Yisrael, on the fight of b'nei Yisrael v'al nasosem es Hashem. And their test of God lay more. So now, we have three complaints in a row. The third one's about water again. So what would we expect if we're going to call it, it's the city of complaining, you would say it's the city of complaining because they complained about water. And that's not what happens. They call it, Al-Nososem es Hashem lay more, Hayesh Hashem bikir beinu im ayin. And the test was, is God in our midst or not? They were testing God to see whether he was in their midst. So in the third story, right, it jumps out at you that they're complaining for water, and yet when the Torah itself records the complaint, instead of saying they complained about water, it says they complained saying, Ayesh Hashem bikirbeinu im ayin. Now that pasuk, I think, is the key to the three parshios, the three complaint parshios overall. And here I'll use... Several people make this point, but I'll use Ray Foreman's formulation, which drives it home. I think it says, or maybe it's David Block's on Aleph Beta. But right, sometimes you have cases where someone actually needs something, so they ask for what they need, right? And either they get it or they don't get it. Sometimes that's not why people are asking, right? You know, when if I'm, busy cleaning the dishes, and I'm not paying attention to Mayer, right? So sometimes Mayer will ask for water because he wants water. Sometimes he'll ask for water because I'm not paying attention. So he thinks, what can I ask to know that you're paying attention to me, right? So it seems like what's going on in these stories is the latter, right? It sounds like they're complaining about water and food and the water again. But as the third story makes clear, that's not what they're doing at all. They're complaining for water because they doubt that Hashem is paying attention to them, right? So in this one, they say, where's water, right? And the Sukkim tell you what they're really saying is, Hayesh Hashem bikirbeinu imayin. Is Hashem here or not? And now if we go back to the other stories, we can explain some of the ambiguities. Because in the first water story, so basically the Jews didn't do anything wrong, right? There... Maybe a little bit they were wondering whether God was there, but basically they really did want water. So God says, okay, you want water. That's a good, fair request. I'll tell you, here's water, and that's the end of the story. But there's a little element of the request. It's primarily we want water, but it's also a little bit, well, we want water, and are you listening? So in addition to Hashem saying, by the way, here's water, he adds a pasuk and says, by the way, it's not just I'm giving you water, I'm here, I'm that same God who took you out of Egypt, and I'm not going to let you suffer. So the first time, Hashem doesn't really get angry, because basically they're asking for water. Now, because they have a need, they're also wondering in the back of their mind, is God listening? But okay, God has now told them, I am with you, don't worry about it. But then, suddenly they have a food problem, and instead of just saying, okay, we want food... Right? If they had just said, like in story one, we want food, so Hashem would have said, okay, you asked for water, you needed water, I'll give you water. You asked for food, I'll give you food. But it's not what they say. And if we go back to the Psukim, they say, they have a very specific request. Right? Vayilonu kol adat, this is back at Tetzayin Bet. Vayilonu kol adat ben Israel Moshe ve'al Haron ba'midbar. They don't complain to God. They complain to Moshe and Aram. And they say, Vayomer lehem ben Israel, mi yitein musenu biyad Hashem beretz Mitzrayim. I'd rather have died in Egypt. Why? Biyad Hashem. Because, okay, I may have suffered in Egypt, but during the Makot, at least, I knew that God, we knew that God was with us. So if we died there, we would have known with the comfort, we would have died knowing that God was with us. Okay, we died. But here we feel abandoned, right? Let us stay there, right? Eating whatever we were eating there. What's the problem? Why did you, right? Why did you take us here? I mean, specifically, why did you, not why did God take us, or why did you, I mean, they believe that God in Mitzrayim was with them. But they feel like God has abandoned them and let Moshe and Aaron take them out without God's presence. And you look, for example, here on the sources and the Ramban commenting on this story, right in advance. Right, in advance of this story, he says, why are they complaining? We already said that they believe in God. Right? They said they believed in God at Kriyas Yamzov, so why are they complaining? So he says, V'efshar od lomar, ki hayuam aminim b'Hashem, v'spalim elav latzilam. They believed in God, they prayed to him to save them. Avol b'Moshe, nichnas tafek b'livam, pen yotzim lam sholem. They had a little bit of doubt about Moshe, maybe he took them out to rule over them. V'afal pi sh'ra'u otot v'amuftim, v'chashvu sh'asa osam b'der chokhma, sh'ashem hevi aleim ha'makot b'rishat ha'goyim. So they said either, first possibility is maybe they really did doubt Moshe, and they thought he did it through magic. But the second possibility is no, maybe they didn't doubt that it was a miracle. But maybe they thought that God only punished the Mitzrim because they were evil. Because maybe they started doubting that Hashem was really with them. Maybe Hashem punished the Egyptians not for their sake, but because the Egyptians were evil. Because they start reasoning, they say, wait a second, we're being chased after by the Egyptians. If you were taking us out because you wanted to be with us and not just to punish them, so we should just be out at this point. But we're not, right? It was a slow process. And the Egyptians kept, and were still following them. So, right, the Ramban already notes that Bnei Yisrael are split in their heads, right? They sort of understand that God is involved, but they're not convinced that that's because God is actually was actually with them. So now if we come back to the Mun story, right, and we continue back in it, when Moshe turns them in Pasuk Vav, and he says, when the bread comes down, not you'll have food, he says, V'idatem ki Hashem otzi eschem eretz Mitzrayim, you'll know that God took you out of Egypt. That's a response to, Lama hotzei sem, why did you take us out? The answer to that is, we didn't, God is still with you. And then their next pasuk is a response to that claim. V'nachnu ma kisalino aleinu. Why are you complaining to us? Who are we that you should complain to? Right? You think that you should complain to us because you think God has abandoned you. God hasn't abandoned you. God is still here. And again, in pasuk chet, v'yomer Moshe b'teiz Hashem lachem ba'erev basar lechov v'lechem ba'boker lisboa. When you get bread, you'll get bread because God is listening to you. Again, you're not complaining to us. You're complaining to God. He's still here. Don't think you're complaining to us because he's abandoned you. He hasn't. He's still here. And then the Pasuk here emphasizes in Pasuk Yod that before the man comes down, v'nei kvod Hashem nirah ba'anan, that Hashem's presence descends. That's the precursor to man. It's not enough that they get food. They have to get food in such a way that they feel God's presence. Now, here, Yoni Grossman points out that the center of this chiasm, this series of stories about the Jews doubting that Hashem is still with them, is the man. And he notes that the man is filled with linguistic links to the story of the Karban Pesach. And he notes that the Karban Pesach is the paradigmatic Karban that represented the relationship of the Jewish people and God. Right, that was what we had to do to tell God we are ready to build a relationship with you and go out of Egypt. So if this analysis is correct, at this point, right, they are turning to Moshe and Aaron saying, we don't believe that Hashem is still with us. So it would make sense that Hashem would say, well, you know what? You think I'm not here like I was in Egypt. Well, let me remind you of that relationship and indicate that I'm still with you just like I was in Mitzrayim. So now if we go through the story here, so we'll note a few. I put a list over here in number four. The pasuk starts. The pasukim start in Yud Aleph. Daber Hashem Moshe Leim. Mar Shamati Et Lonot Bnei Yisrael. Daber Leim Leimor Ben Arba'im Tachlu Basar. So the first thing he says is you're going to get food Ben Harbayim. Now Ben Harbayim is a very specific phrase, which is when the Karban Pesach is always brought. It's bought Bein HaArbayim. It's brought as we are heading towards nightfall. Right? That's the description by Karban Pesach. So he says, have that. And then he says, Bein HaArbayim tochlu basar v'ogar tzu lechem v'idatem k'neim Hashem Elokeichem. So then it actually comes. So at night, these birds come. The quail, and they cover it. In the morning, there's dew around the tent, around the camp. And when the dew ascended, there was this food, right? Manhu. So now they say that is man. Kilo yadu mahu. And they said, what is it? And Moshe said, this is the bread that Hashem gave to you. Now, and now he says, okay, so now how much should you take of this bread? Each person according to what he can eat. Each person take according to the number of people in your tent, and each person took as much as they needed, whether it was a lot or a little. Now this emphasis that each person takes as much as they can eat, no more, no less, and that each person takes for his whole family just enough for his house, is a theme borrowed from the Karban Pesach. And if we jump back to the Karban Pesach, at least the commandments for it, so it's Perek Yud Bet. Pasuk, the relevant Pasuk is. Or is the command earlier? No, sorry, it's the command which is earlier, which is in Perek, in the beginning of Perek Yud Bet. In Pasuk Dalid. And he says, in the middle of Pasuk Gimel, each person should take a sheep per household. If there's too little, so then you take your neighbors. Right, so you take enough for the family, right? There's this emphasis that you take exactly enough per person, which is what you have here, right? That if it's too much, too little. And so now if we jump back to the monster, and then he says, Moshe says, Ish al yoser mimenu ad boker, don't leave any over to morning, which is one of the central halachos for the Karban Pesach, the halach of nosar, that you have to eat it. This is Perek Yud Bet Pasuk Yud. Lo sosiru menu ad boker va nosar menu ad boker by ish tisrofu. Don't leave it over till morning, and anything left over to morning will have to be burned. Now here, anything that's left over till morning will be destroyed, not by people, but by God. Right? This is Pasuk Chaf. Lo shamul Moshe. Some people didn't listen. Va yosiru anashim menu ad boker va arum tolaim va yivash va yiksof alayim Moshe. So it goes, it spoils, and Moshe gets angry. So each person should take as much as he needs, and then it will melt away. And then they have the whole story of the double. And then Hashem says, don't worry, when it's Shabbos, you're allowed to keep over double because it's Shabbos. So on Shabbos, you won't go out and you won't find mat. I mean, there are other linguistic parallels. There's an emphasis of the date, right? This happens exactly a month after Pesach, right? After the original Pesach happens on the 15th of Iyar. And other ones, I won't go through all of them, but what Yoni Grossman points out is that some of the central themes that you have enough for your household, you have to eat it each day, you can't leave it over till the morning, right? Me'at, marbe, etc., seem to be indicating that this is some sort of Karban Pesach. Or really the inverse of the Karban Pesach, right? The Karban Pesach was our obligation to show that we were willing to enter into a relationship with Hashem. So here Hashem responds at this moment where the Bnei Yisrael are doubting that Hashem is still with them, not just by giving them man, but by giving them man with the imagery of the Karban Pesach embedded into it to remind them, no, I didn't just take you out of Egypt and then abandon you, right? Which is what you think. No, I stayed with you. Now, in story one, it's sort of a muted critique. Right, it's you wanted water, so you're asking for water. But by the way, I sense already that you're wondering whether I'm here. So I'm just going to assure you that I am here. By story two, Moshe starts to get angry because they should have just asked for food. Once Hashem has assured them He's still with them, they should, even if they're hungry, they should just ask for food. They shouldn't ask for food in such a way that makes it clear that what they're really doubting is that Hashem is with them and that Moshe took them by themselves. So he starts to get angry, right? Nachnu ma, lo aleinu, tulunu seichem el kim al Hashem. You're not really complaining to us, you're complaining about God. By story three is when Moshe really loses his cool, and Hashem loses his cool, so to speak. Or not loses his cool, but Hashem starts to get angry, or Moshe really is the one who really gets angry, because by the second time that it's the same complaint, right? You already asked for water, I gave it to you, so now I need water again. So I'll give you water, but I've already proven to you that I'm here, and I'm giving you food, I'm giving you water. You shouldn't think that I am not here, right? And that's what Moshe says, Mati Ravona Madi, Mati Nasuna Hashem. And he turns to God and he says, look, one more minute, Odmar Skaluni, right? No matter what I do to them, they think that I'm responsible. They don't get that you're here and that you're responsible. And he calls the place, right, Masal Miruva on Hayesh Hashem Bikirbeinu Imayim, because he understands that really what they keep asking over and over and over again is God here? Is God here? Is God here? And Hashem keeps saying, yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm here. So the first time, I get it. The second time, this is a bit much. By the third time, how many times do I need to prove that I'm listening, that I care, right? That at some point, you need to learn your lesson. And that's where Moshe really loses his cool. Hashem doesn't seem to be as angry as Moshe. He seems to be more understanding, so to speak. But even Hashem in this story is specifically arranging it in ways that will respond to that claim. So if we look again at Pasuk Hey, when he tells him, how are you going to get water from the rock? He's very specific, and he says, take the matcha asher kizeh bo zayor, kach biyadech v'alachta, take that stick that you used to split the sea, which was the last time, which was the symbol of me being with you and me being with the Jewish people, take that same stick and get water for them, right? Hashem's not just saying, okay, I'm going to be with you. He says, okay, take the symbol of me being with the Jewish people and get the water out with that stick, because the whole point is I have to direct their attention to the fact that the same God who was with them in Mitzrayim, right? I've convinced them that I was with them in Mitzrayim. I convinced them I was there at Yom Sof. I was convinced them that I was there throughout the entire suffering, but I still haven't managed to convince them that that same God continued with them. So take that stick, take that symbol of my unity with the Jewish people and use it to get the water. So that brings us to this point of the story. Now, if you look at the Midrashim, which I put here, the Midrashim seem to pick up on this as well. So, for example, in 2, one of the things we noted, one of the ways that Hashem revealed Himself through the Makot was as the Creator God, right? And the Makot often tried to reverse creation, right? And we talked about this before Pesach, that each of the Makot reverses a different day of creation. By the end, Hashem has reversed all of creation. Well, the Midrash picks up on the fact that here, there seems to be another reversal of creation going on in the Mun story, But while in Mitzrayim the reversal of creation was always as a way of punishing the Egyptians, Hashem uses that same, you know, reversal of creation thing, but this time for the Jewish people. So in Shmos Rabbah, it says as follows: Amar Hashem ben Gamliel, Gedola chibasan shel Yisrael shakadosh baruch hu mishana sidre breishis bishvil tovasan. Hashem loves the Jewish people so much that He changes creation for them. Shuhu morid lahem man min hashamayim umala lahem man min haaretz tal. Because He brings bread down from the sky and He brings dew up from the ground. Shne'emar v'tal shichlas atal v'chein av shamav yarfu tal. Even though He proves from Dvarim that dew really descends. So, right, lechem, normally the bracha we say is hamotzi lechem min haaretz, bread comes from the ground, and the rain or the dew comes from the sky. And Hashem goes out of His way and says, I'm going to send you bread from the sky, and I'm going to bring magical dew up from the ground. Meaning, I'm going to that same thing to show you that I'm in charge of creation, that I'm willing. Because if we go back to the Ramban, the Jews are convinced that Hashem is there and He's willing to punish the Egyptians. They're just not convinced that He is going to be there once He's already dealt with the Egyptians. So Hashem says, okay, well, I proved to you I was the Creator God and I could reverse creation to punish. Well, let me prove that I will use that same strength as the reversal of, as the Creator God who can reverse creation, but this time not for punishment, not because I need to get rid of the wicked Egyptian, because I need to help you. So, sure, you want to see it again? I'll do it again. I'll bring bread down from heaven. I'll bring rain up from the earth. I'll reverse creation to show you that I'm there for you. In 3, the Michilta continues. The Michilta says, look, I got another way. Melech basar v'dam omei b'melchama, eino yachol lazun v'lo l'sapeg achsani l'chol chaylotav. Another way that Hashem indicates his unique relationship with the Jewish people. It says a normal king, a human king, he can't both support people and fight wars. Right? He's either in the battle and then he has to leave his, you know, he has to leave people, the, you know, the mayors and the governors to deal with the day-to-day. And if there's a problem there's nothing he can do about it. Or he has to take care of the domestic stuff and he has to send his generals out to fight. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ain't okay. Hashem's not like that. Ella, Hashem ish milchama, shu nilcham b'mitzrayim, Hashem shimo. He fights with Egypt, and also shu zan mefarnes l'chol ba'ei olam, but He's also the God who feeds the world. She'ne'emar l'gzor yamsuf l'gzarim, v'nosein lechem l'chol basar. Right, then in Tehillim, when we are reminiscing about this moment in history, the Pesukim describe it, that God is, on the one hand, right, gozer yamsuf l'gzarim, but He's also nosein lechem l'chol basar. Right, He is both He who can give food, and He's also the one who can battle. And the Midrash is picking up on the fact that it isn't intuitive that the same God or the same king is both the one who fights your battles and the one who takes care of your day-to-day. Hashem has to go out of His way to educate the Jewish people that He is both Hashem Ish Melchama and the Nosein Lechem L'chol Basar. But it highlights that that's not intuitive, right? That's not the way human beings normally think, especially in the human level, and coming from Egypt, which thinks polytheistically, the same is true, where you think that different gods have different roles, it takes a level of education to explain, no, I can do both. And that's, so the Michilta seems to pick up on this as well. Now, this issue, though, doesn't seem to have been solved, because we have these three complaints, but as Moshe says at the end of the third story, the second water story, the third complaint story, the Jewish people, despite Hashem's time after time attempt to show that He is still with them, don't seem to quite get it yet. So what ends up happening is that we close the chiasm, right? Because we started this chiasm with Hashem trying to prove He's with the Jewish people by punishing the final punishment of the Egyptians. But now the Jews should realize, okay, He's not just punishing the Egyptians, but He's also with you day to day. But if you can't figure that out, then the result is that the external enemy is going to come back. Or if you keep doubting that God is with you, so then we're just going to reverse the process. Because God said He wouldn't bring enemies because He was with you. But if you're doubting He's with you, then if He's not with you, enemies will come. in order for the enemies not to come, you need to show that you actually believe that he's with you. So after the third complaint story, it flows directly into Vayavo Amalek Vayilachem Im Yisrael Birfidim, that Amalek comes and fights. Right? It's another external fight. Vayomer Moshe al Yoshua Bacharlanu Anashim Vitzei Lachem Amalek Macharno Chinitzava Roshigiv Amatei Elohim Biyadi. So Yoshua, he tells Yoshua, get an army, and I will stand a Roshigiva. Vayas Yoshua Kasher Amar Lo Moshe Lilachem Amalek. So Yoshua does that, and Moshe Aaron Vachor Lo Roshigiva. So Moshe Aaron Vachor get up on the mountain. Vayak Kasher Yarim Moshe Yadov Vigavar Yisrael Vakasher Yaniach Yadov Vigavar Amalek. And when Moshe would lift his hands, so the Jews would win. And when he would put his hands down, so then Amalek would win. Now we saw, I should have just recopied it and put it on the sources, but we saw it, I think, 2 weeks ago, how Chazal read this line. And the Chazal in the Mishnah, right, ask, V'chi yadav shel Moshe, right, minatzeach bel melchama, is it Moshe's hands that lead the Jews to win? No, it's when the Jews looked up at his hands and turned towards God, so then they would win. If they turned away from God, then they wouldn't win. So Chazal are reading that same theme into Amalek, and they're saying, yeah, the reason Amalek came was because the Jews doubted Hashem was with them. When they turned towards Hashem and they realized he was with them, so then they would win. When they would turn away from that truth, so then they would lose. V'yidei Moshek v'yidim, v'yichu evan, v'yishim v'takta, v'yish v'alev, aron v'chor tamchu b'yadav, m'zeh echad, v'yi adav emunad, bo Hashemesh, and his hands were heavy, so they hold up his hands, v'chalosh Yoshua Amalek, v'samol lefi charev. And so then Yeshua weakens Amalek and they beat him. Fine. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Ksov Zikaron B'Sefer, and Hashem now tells Moshe, write this, commemorate it. V'sim Baznei Yeshua, Ki Macho Amcha Ezecher Amalek, Mitachaz Hashemayim, that will destroy Amalek, Vayiven Moshe Mizbech, Vayikrash Shema Hashem Nisi, Vayomer Kiyad Al Kesya, Milchama L'Hashem Amalek, Midor Dor. Now, the Chazal's image for Amalek, right? Why is it Hashem at this point reacts so angrily with Amalek? So Chazal's image is the bathtub image, right? The whole world was afraid of the Jewish people because they knew that God was with the Jewish people. And then the first person jumps into the bath, and even though he gets scolded, it cools it down for everybody else and opens the door for people to fight the Jewish people. But what Chazal are getting at is, even if it was called for, the Jews really deserved it at this point because they kept doubting Hashem. Right? The nation that chose to express that doubt, right? Because until now, the Jews had been having their doubts, but everyone else knew that Hashem was with them. But Amalek confirms the Jews' worst fears, because now they jump in and they say, well, we aren't afraid of you. The Jews have this constant nagging fear that Hashem is not with them, and then Amalek comes and sort of confirms that, right? That there's at least a nation out there who thinks that God isn't with you. They're not afraid. So yes, they get punished, and yes, that confirms that Hashem still is with them. But the fact that despite all the evidence to the contrary, someone can jump in and say, I'm not scared, already opens the door to continuous doubt, both for the Jewish people and for the nations, to continue the doubt that Hashem is with them. And because Amalek represents that doubt, so Hashem says, right, Kiyad al Kes, Yah Milchama al Hashem v'Amalek Midor Dor, that Hashem will always have to fight that battle. He will always need to fight that nation that represents the belief that God isn't continuing to function on behalf of the Jews or continuing to function in this world. And that's why Amalek really closes the story, because the Jews are still doubting, and it's that doubt that Amalek sort of concretizes that makes the Amalek in this story so dangerous, and why Hashem specifically has to battle them. With that, we turn to the beginning of next week's part of the next part of Yisro, where Yisro's placement in this story seems to be the solution. Well, I don't know, the solution seems to be an example of someone who didn't fall prey to the misconceptions of Amalek or the doubts of the Jewish people. So the parsha starts off with Vayishma Yisro Chosein Chohen Midyan Chosein Moshe Kol Asher Asa Kol Asher Asa Lokim LeMoshe Yisrael Amok Yotzi Hashem Yisrael MiMitzrayim. He heard everything that Hashem had done for the Moshe and the Jews, that Hashem had took them out of Mitzrayim. And Chazal and Rashi quotes it here, I put it in 5, Says, Mashmu Shama Uba, what did he hear that made him come? Kriyas Yamsuf Umulchemes Amalek. He heard two things, Yamsuf and Amalek. Well, what are Chazal trying to say by saying that? I mean, they're just reading the Psukim, right? They're just saying that he heard the previous two big public miracles. But what are Chazal getting at by saying that Yisro heard the previous two things? Well, it's this, right? Mitzrayim, all that proved, potentially, was that Hashem was opposed to the Egyptians and would punish the Egyptians. It didn't prove that Hashem had continued to be with them. The war of Amalek was the test, right? There was three internal complaints where the Jews doubted Hashem was there, and then there was another external enemy coming. It was, so to speak, Kriyas Yamsuf time two. It's an external enemy, but this time it's after they've left Egypt. So now it's the test. Is Hashem still with you after you've left, after he's dealt with the Egyptians? So there were three times that this question got dealt with between God and the Jews, the three complaints. But now the world is asking the question again, is Hashem still with the Jews? And Amalek comes and Hashem lets them win the battle and he destroys Amalek. When the world sees that, so what they should realize, just like the Jews should realize at this point, is that Hashem wasn't just with them in Mitzrayim, but he continues to be with them. And according to Chazal, that's in fact the next pasuk, right? The next pasuk immediately after Amalek is Yisro coming. Which according to Chazal, Vayishma Yisro, he heard Kriyas Yamsuf, which was the end of the saga of Mitzrayim. He heard everything that Hashem had done in Mitzrayim, and he heard Amalek. And if you look at the psukim, right, what did he hear? Once he saw Amalek, and he realized Hashem was still with the Jewish people. So if we go back to that Ramban, right? The Ramban said, what was it that the Jewish people wondered? Was, are you with us or are you against the Egyptians? Right? How do you interpret Mitzrayim? Well, once Amalek happened, the interpretation of Mitzrayim can only be that Hashem was with the Jews and not just against the Egyptians. And that's how the pasuk starts. V'yishma Yisrael Kohen Midyan Chosein Moshe Eskol Asher Asa Elo Kim Limoshe Israel Amo Kiyotzi Hashem Israel Mitzrayim. He heard everything Hashem had done for the Jews by taking them out of Egypt. And the way Chazal are understanding it is that the battle of Amalek is what sheds light on the purpose of Yetziat Mitzrayim, on the reality that Hashem was still with them even post Yetziat Mitzrayim, even post the victories. And according to Chazal, that's really what impresses. That's what impresses Yisro. It's not just the miracle. It's everything he does for the Jewish people. And then if we skim through the Yisro story. So now, first it tells the story of Yisro bringing his family. But once they start talking, so in Pasuk Zayin, so then they meet, they kiss. They ask each other how they're doing. They go and they go inside to talk. He tells him not just everything that happened in Mitzrayim, but everything that happened in Mitzrayim for the purpose of saving the Jewish people. Al odot Yisrael. And all that had found them since then, and everything that Hashem had saved them from. And Pasuk 10, Yisro seems to respond to that. Vayichad Yisro al kol ha-tova asher asa Hashem li Yisrael. He rejoices about everything that Hashem had done for the Jews. Asher tzilo miyad Mitzrayim. Vayomer Yisro baruch Hashem asher tzilo eschem miyad Mitzrayim miyad paro. And then he says, blessed is God who saved you from Mitzrayim. Asher tzilo z'ami mitachas yad Mitzrayim and saved you from Mitzrayim ata yadati. Now after emphasizing five times in different ways that what impressed Yisro wasn't just what he did to Egypt, but why he did it to Egypt. Namely, that he was creating a relationship with the Jewish people. That's what tells me that God is so great. And the story of Yisro seems to be the follow-up to the doubts of the Jewish people. Right? So if we now read it from the Makos throughout, right? So we tie everything together. All the way from the beginning, from the last few weeks, right? The otot that Hashem sends to Moshe are meant to convince the Jewish people that he's been with them through their suffering. the Makot and their Mida Keneged Mida are in part meant to convince the Jewish people that he understood what happened to them, their suffering, to let them know that he was paying attention. Kriyas Yamsuf is meant to convince them that he understood and he's bringing the Egyptians to justice. But now there's still a doubt, right? Did you do all of this primarily for us or primarily to punish the Egyptians for the evil? So, immediately after Kriyat Yamsuf, they're a little bit uncomfortable, so Hashem says, no, right? They ask for water, but there's that tinge of, are you really with us? And Hashem says, yes, I am. The second time already, right, they don't get the message, so Moshe starts to get angry because he says, well, I see what's going on. As you're doubting Hashem was with you, you're complaining against us, but don't complain against us. Nachnuma. It's not us, it's God, and you'll know that. And Hashem sends the man, which A, reverses creation, so pulling on those themes from Yetzias Mitzrayim, that I'm the creator God, but I'm willing to use those same powers for you, and pulling on the language of the Karban Pesach to emphasize that you initiated that relationship in Mitzrayim, and I haven't forgotten that, and I've stayed with you. The third time already, Moshe really gets impatient. Hashem tries to convey the fact that he's with them by sending Moshe with the same staff, but Moshe already says, you've tested him three times to see whether God is here or not, and he's really upset by that point because they haven't gotten the message. Amalek is, on the one hand, the natural response to that, which is if you think God isn't with you, so look what happens when God isn't with you. And as Chazal understand, in order for them to be saved, they have to, right, Moshe raises his hands and they have to look towards God. If they don't, they'll lose. But on the other hand, Amalek were wrong in thinking that God wasn't there, and that's why they are the paradigmatic enemies of God, because they are those who deny God's consistent and constant Hashgacha in this world and for the Jewish people. Yisrael, on the other hand, is the solution, is the person who looks at it and understands what's going on. And as Chazal understands it, he hears not just Kriyas Yamsuf, but he understands the message of the Melchemet Amalek, and therefore comes, and as we pointed out, emphasizes five times between his conversation and Moshe's conversation with him, that what was impressive here was not just that Hashem was performing miracles, but specifically he was doing it Alodot Yisrael, he was doing it for the Jewish people, and that's really what impresses Yisro so much. The last thing that I'll note is that based on all of this, it makes sense, and I just put the first pasuk in 6, because we're not going to get into it now, is all of this leads up to Revelation. Right? Pre-Revelation, what's important is not just that we know who God is, but we know that God is our God, that there's a relationship. Revelation isn't just God saying, by the way, I'm in the world. It's actual communication with the Jewish people. And if we just look at the first pasuk, right, when Hashem introduces himself, that's exactly what he says. Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher tzisicha me'aretz Mitzrayim. That I am God who took you out of Mitzrayim. Because Hashem isn't just telling them, by the way, I am God. It's the same God took you out of Mitzrayim, has been with you since then, and that's what allows me to command you. Right? It's a personal introduction. It's, I am that same God. It's not just a statement. Now, the one of my teachers, Rabbi Clapper, likes pointing out the difference between the first mitzvah in the Torah according to the Rambam and according to the Smag. The Rambam says the first mitzvah in the Torah is to believe in God. The Smag says the first mitzvah in the Torah is to believe in the God who took you out of Egypt. Right, it's specifically to believe, which seems to be more in line with what the Psukim say. It's not the first, because everyone always asks on the Rambam, how can you command belief in God? The Smag sort of circumvents it by saying, no, the command isn't to believe in God. Believing in God is, right, if you don't believe in God, I can't command you to believe in God. But I can, what I can command is that if you already believe in God, that you should understand the context in which you have a relationship with God, namely that God is Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim. So this whole story from Kriyas Yamsuf leading up to Revelation itself is an extended story of the Jewish people struggling and Hashem trying to convey the message that he is, has a continuous relationship with them, which is what justifies in the end revelation and the commands that come with it. Without that relationship background, Matan Torah makes no sense, right? You don't command someone unless you have a relationship with them. So that brings us to, I guess, next week. So in advance of Shavuos, we have 2 weeks to do Matan Torah. But that, I think, you know, is the transition, you know, those complaint stories to the beginning of Parshas Yisro.